I had aspirations for that tower. I was going to get the biggest swinging mead flag of all time and have it waving off that tower. So every time the people of Kildare looked north, they knew who ran this neck of the woods. Commander Ryle!
Absolutely.
This is probably not a foregone conclusion or of any sort at all. I'm going to give Bord's Mill the nod here, David.
Wow. I'm not, but yeah, I admire it.
Look, I love my county. I love playing for Meath. I'm very passionate about it. I think it's the best county, you know, going. I still love it. I want us to dominate in both codes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You'd have Rotote still won, would you?
No,
don't give me... If you won't answer if you would have Rotote in one, then don't even go there.
Nunc est bibendum. And all the classical scholars out there will know what that means. And if they don't... Jimmy Google will sort it out.
You've jumped over the fence, baby.
Absolutely. Little boy with his finger in the dike.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are League podcast with Davey Risman and Nicky Brennan. And this is a full review of everything that's happening across all GAA circles in Meath. From the last few days, Davey, we're going to start up in Donegal. Have you recovered? That's the big question.
I am looking forward to the Chinese as soon as we finish this show, Mickey. I won't lie to you. But not bad, actually. Not bad, to be honest. Got the drive home as well. Wasn't too bad. We came through home. It sent us a bit of a weird way coming up the way, but thoroughly enjoyable. Night in Ballybuffet, even though the game or the result didn't go our way, it was a good night. Great to see some of the Meath lads out and about as well, and all systems going out for the championship in 2 weeks' time. Wow,
2 weeks' time is right. Yeah, Leinster championship in 2 weeks' time. But getting back to your journey up, did it take you across the mountain through the forests and the whole lot, and then down the hill into Ballybuffet?
Yeah, it's quite an intimidating drive as well, Mickey, because you see some strange flags and personnel around as well. So thankfully, I had Fergal Lynch with me to hold my hand through that part of the trip. But needless to say, with the fear of God in us, we didn't come back that way. We stayed on the main roads and stayed clear of any potential trouble that was coming our way.
it's usually you find trouble to get yourself into, not you're avoiding it, Davey, now, so you do. But glad to hear that Fergal Lynch kept you on the straight and narrow on the way home. Davey, we're going to start in Ballybuffet with that Meath versus Donegal game. A bit of a dead rubber, both teams not much riding on it. I suppose there's probably more riding on it for Donegal than there was Meath. Meath were guaranteed Division 2 status. They were guaranteed All-Ireland series. But for Donegal, the fact that they had already gained promotion meant that they would be playing in a league final next week. So that's probably why they didn't ring in as many changes as Colm did.
Yeah, I think Colm was joking about in our post-match interview that he kind of, when he seen the Donegal team, he was hoping for a few more. But Jim McGuinness went quite strong. I think Michael Langren was the only real household name that wasn't playing. And even when you see some of their substitutes, like the likes of Jamie Brennan came in for a start, you know, and Aaron Doherty, you know, quality footballers and that. So even though they did make two or three alterations, their depth is something else. And they're a strong team in Ballybuffet, as we know as well. They're a difficult nut to crack, you know, regardless of what team they put out. So it was a difficult one for Meath. Probably didn't do enough in the first half when Donegal weren't at their best, actually, Mickey. That was probably the takeaway from it. Like, we goaled after 20 seconds, but didn't really kick on, and we missed a good chance through James Conlon to probably extend our lead. And Donegal gradually improved as the half wore on and established that lead and never really looked back after that one. They ran out comfortable victors, and Meath could have no complaints about it. It was a one-sided game.
Yeah, 118 to 110 it finished. We have and we'll be doing a full review of that game, an interview with Colm O'Rourke after the game too. And we go into a little bit more depth, and we talk a little bit about, you know, what it means for this Meath team, where this Meath team are at this minute compared to last year, obviously finishing the same position in the league, sixth in Division 2, but it's been a much better league campaign, it has to be said. And we look forward a little bit towards the Leinster Championship and the All-Ireland Series, and give our little bits of nuggets of information on what could and might happen over the next few weeks in the lead up to that first round of the Leinster Championship against Longford. Davey, moving on then to the Camogues, and the Camogues, reeling after that loss to Derry last week, had to travel down to Carlow, down to the Carlow campus on Saturday afternoon, and they won on a scoreline of 9-7. And that's exactly the kind of reaction you want from the Camogues after the loss last week to Derry.
Yeah, we talked about how difficult a couple of weeks it has been. And after the win, I think in round one, it's been kind of downhill since that. But a big, big win for me. I know they were kind of clinging on in the end. They led by 7-2 at half time, but only managed to muster another 2 points in the second half. And Carlow really came back at them strong, but it's job done, and it's a big win for them. You know, Carlow are a decent side as well too, so no daws in that respect. And you know, they can look forward to a home game against Offaly next week. Haven't got back on track. 4 points for Ciara Foley, who's kind of established herself as probably one of the primary scorers nowadays as well. And good spread of scorers other than that, Amy Gaffney, Olivia O'Halloran, and Ani McNerney and Aoife Carey on target. But good defensive effort as well, it has to be said, because they were under serious pressure in that second half, but stood firm and kept a clean sheet and got a valuable 2 points.
They did indeed. Davey, that leaves them third in the division behind Derry, who are on 12, Westmeath, who are on 10, and then Meath are on 7 points with 2 victories, one draw and one loss. But if I'm not mistaken, Westmeath still have to play Derry yet.
Okay, right.
So, like, we would be hoping for Derry to get the victory over Westmeath. And maybe one of the things that's probably going to be a disappointment so far with the Meath Camogues is their lack of goals. I know that Westmeath and Derry are banging in the goals at the minute. So it's something that Meath are going to have to do, because if Derry were to get the victory over Westmeath, it could come down to score difference between Meath and Westmeath. Having drawn, it will come down to score difference if Meath can get up onto this and be level with them on points.
Yeah, okay. So it's unlikely, but there's a chance.
Yeah, there is a chance. Just need to, in the next 2 fixtures, I think it is, that Meath have left, or maybe it's one, they need to get up a couple of big scores, if I'm not mistaken.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Davey, on Sunday afternoon, the Meath ladies were taking on Cork in, it wasn't a do or die game or anything like that, but it was, having won their first 3 games, they lost the next 3 games, and it was imperative that they got some sort of a result or some sort of a reaction from the girls ahead of championship, and that's exactly what they got. Shane McCormick's side winning on a scoreline of 2-14 to Cork's 1-7. And great to see Meath putting up a scoreline like that. They haven't done that too often throughout this league.
Yeah, and it didn't look good for them actually at halftime, Mickey. They trailed by a 0.14 to 6 they were down by. The goal was a real sloppy one from a Meade standpoint. Lydia McDonough benefited it through a poor kick out from Meade, and that was a key score for Cork, helped them into a 1-point halftime advantage. But Meade came on strong in the second half and turned in a much improved second half performance with Emma Duggan to the fore, with 7 points, 5 of those from play actually. But the goals were obviously crucial scores as well. Shelley Melia, the midfielder, had one, and Marion Farley got the other. Marion Farley incidentally finished with a goal and 3 all from play, and she could have got a second one, but her another shot came back off the crossbar. But she really excelled. So 1-10 between herself and Emma Duggan is good. It bodes well, and we talked about it last week. We've talked about it for a few weeks, actually, with Meade, their lack of scorers. So the most pleasing element of it from a Meade standpoint was they had, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different scorers. You know, big tallies for the likes of Duggan and Farley, which is good. Incidentally, Katie New, Megan Thine, Ashley McCabe and O'Leary were also on target for Shane McCormack's girls. And I know it had nothing in terms of the Baron, but on the back of 3 disappointing or heavy defeats, you'd have to say, Mickey, that's a boost, and it also relegated Cork to Division 2 for next year. So whilst Meade did nothing on it, that was a big game for Cork, but Meade put them to the sword in the second half, 2-14 to 1-7.
Yeah, and when you look at on the face of it, you said it, like, nothing riding on it for Meade, but everything riding on it for Cork. So, you know, their need was greater. So to come out with such a convincing win is testament to the way the girls approached this game.
It is, and it says a lot about the character of the group too, because probably people were starting to question them and as to where they were going. But actually now, if you look at it on the face of it, they finished the league with 4 wins and 3 defeats. I think before a ball was kicked, you know, start of the year, I think everybody would have really taken that, regardless of how you got there. So a decent finish, and they can look forward to Leinster now with a morale boost and win in their back pocket.
Yeah, they finished 4th in the league behind Armagh and Kerry, who will contest the league final. Dublin on 15 points, then Meade on 12. And, you know, Meade got a victory over Dublin as well. So to me, what that says is that Meade are still in the top 4 teams in the country, David.
They are, yeah. I don't think Meade have gone away or anything like that. There's been a huge amount of transition, and obviously new management coming in. This is going to take time. And whilst they mightn't just be at the level of, I was going to say, with Dublin did an absolute job in Armagh, but I think Armagh were already through. So whilst Meade mightn't just be at the levels of Armagh, Dublin and Kerry at this moment in time, they're still not a million miles away. And I think it's vitally important that everybody keeps the faith with this team and watches the rebuild, and hopefully they'll be back challenging those teams in the not too distant future.
Yeah, nice way to finish the league off for Shane McCormack and the girls there, getting the victory over Cork, and on to the championship now for them. Davey, moving on then to hurling circles, and before we go to the result that we have from the weekend, obviously, the hurlers lost last week to Down. That put an end to their league campaign. They didn't go through to a semi-final. And it's on to the Joe McDonagh Cup now, which will be contested by Meade, Down, Kerry, Laois, Offaly, Westmeath as well. So we know all these teams very, very well. And they'll be taken to the field in the Joe McDonagh for the first time this year on the 21st of April. So a nice little bit of a break for Shorsha and the lads between now and the start of the championship.
I think they'll probably need that too. You know, it was a league that started really well for Meade with a win over Kildare and Navan, but it progressively got worse and the defeats got heavier as it went on. And obviously with such a new look to the panel, 17 fellas not around from last year, and that it was always going to be a challenging one. So I think the month will be of benefit to them. We know that Eamon O'Donoghue is back in the country too. So maybe he might reappear for me. I think they could certainly do with him if that's an option. I'm not sure at this moment in time, but hopefully they can get a couple of players back and make a real fist of it in the Joe McDonagh. It won't be easy, but that's the challenge that faces them.
Yeah, you're speaking about Eamon being back in the country, and you know, he's the type of lad that would look after himself, and I'm sure Shorsha Sir Shorshire will be making the phone call to see if he'd be willing to come in and train and see what level he's at. But looking at the Joe McDonagh Cup, Davey, the first game, as I said, is 21st of April. It's away to Down. You know, and the one thing we never like to hear is Meath playing Down on an away day.
Well, it wouldn't be a Meath and Down game if it wasn't an away day, would it? Like, it's... I'd love to see the last maybe 10 meetings and where the venues have been. It's, I'd say, 80-90% of the time Ballycran. It's such a trek. I was just reading Jimmy Gagan's interview with Shorshire Bulfin after the game last week. Shorshire got up at 5 o'clock that morning of the game to leave his house in Limerick to go and get the bus to get to Ballycran. It's an absolute trek of mammoth proportions. But listen, they've got a taste for it now. They know the quality of Down and they know the level they need to get to, needless to say. And hopefully they can build over this next month and give that a real crack.
Just on it, because I know you want to move on there, Davey. But so their first game is away to Down. They've then got two home games. Laois the second day, the week later, Offaly the week after that. That I think it's a 2 week break, and they're away to Westmead, and then the final day they're away to Kerry. So two home games, three away games, but two home games come in quick succession, and then it's finishing off with two away days. It's not going to be an easy Joe McDonagh championship for Meath at all.
No, it won't. Like, listen, you talked about Westmead there as well. Like, Westmead are a team that were playing in 1B and put it up to a couple of the big hitters like Limerick, to name but one. So that's the challenge that kind of faces me. I do think it'll hinge on what happens in the first three games. The away game to Down, and you've got two home games then. That'll give you a good indication of where Meath are at, you know, by the time the second half of the competition rolls around. But it's where they want to be. I know it's where Shorshire sees the long-term development and progress of this Meath team, but I do just sympathise with them in that they're missing so many players from last year, and it must be so difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, we'll be keeping a tight eye on the Joe McDonagh Cup when that comes around. Starting on the 21st of April, Meath travel up to Ballycran. Well, there's no venue specified just yet, but I presume that game will be in Ballycran, because Down love to play Meath in Ballycran. We wish Shorshire and the lads the very best luck. Davey, you have one result. The Meath Miners were out in action this weekend.
Yeah, they were playing their first round of the Minor Hurling Championship, and it was a really, really gutsy and battling display from Meath, but unfortunately they went down to a 3-point defeat to Offaly. It finished Offaly 1-11, Meath 1-8. This game was played in Ashburn on Saturday. Meath led by a 6-1 to 1-3 at half-time, but they had played with the aid of the breeze and the bit of a slope in Ashburn. James Cully with the Meath goal, an absolutely fantastic goal it was too. Killian Wayne replying for Offaly. But it wasn't to be in the end for Meath. Offaly got on top in the second half, and they went on to win the game, courtesy of 6 points from Oran Fletcher, four of those coming from frees for Meath. Luke Ennis hit 5 points from frees. James Cully got 1-1. Rian Porter had a point, and there was a point also for Evan Curley. A battling display, and I know Martin Lynch will be delighted with that performance against the really traditional Hurling County, if you like. So that's a creditable result, albeit they won't be in tomorrow victories or anything. They'll have wanted to have won that game, but they'll take plenty from the performance.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Minor Hurling is a bit similar to the football. It's a round robin system, isn't it? They have a couple of games left in that Minor Championship.
Yeah, they've got Wicklow, Westmeath and Antrim still to come. So obviously big tests still lying in wait, but at the same time, if they can replicate that sort of performance in the remaining three games, they'll stand every chance of picking up points.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Okay, so Davey, moving on to our next segment, and of course we're going to bring it back to the clubs now. So we are on the club scene in Meath and the fixtures over the next week throughout the football leagues. And we're going to start on Tuesday night. We'll give our little tuppence on them as we go along. We're going to start in, the JMB Sports Field. We're going to go through them day by day and the fixtures that are in. So in the JMB Sportsfield Services Football League Division 4, first game up, Longwood against St. Ultans, Davey.
Prediction-wise, Mickey, I'll go with the noisy neighbour, St. Ultans.
Jesus, not like you. There must be a banker then, if that's the case. So, because if there's any chance of them being beaten, you always go against them. So St. Ultans to take on Longwood at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night in Longwood. The next game up is from the league. God, we're going down a good bit here. Tommy Dowd Oil League Division 5. This has been played on Tuesday night in Minalty, and it's Minalty against Kilmainham Wood. The game that didn't go ahead last weekend in the Tailteann and Shield semi-final is going to go ahead in league fixture, hopefully on Tuesday at 8 o'clock, if everything is all right in Kilmainham Wood.
I was just going to say, you sounded pretty confident as you were saying that. I hope that will be the case and Kilmainham Wood will show up for this one. But I think even if they do, it'll be one-way traffic. Home banker.
Home banker for Minalty, Davey says. And it's not an away banker for St. Ultans against Longwood. Moving on then to the next game up on Wednesday night. And it's a Tailteann Cup semi-final between Slane and Kilmainham, Davey. Now, remember the love that you have for Kilmainham.
I do, but sometimes you have to know when to go with the head over the heart, and I think Slane are going to win it all. I think they're going to even beat Dublin in the All-Ireland Championship this year, so I don't think Kilmainham will stand in their way here. It's a really attractive-looking fixture, though, actually, Mickey, but Slane will probably be too good.
That game is at 8 o'clock in Dungannon on Wednesday night. Slane to win that, win the Tailteann Cup, win the Keegan Cup, and then to go on and win the All-Ireland in July against Dublin before they go on then and win the Junior A Championship as well. So Davey has them down to win everything. They're going to do the clean sweep. Moving on then to the last fixture on Wednesday evening. And it sees Dunshaughlin against Drumbarra in the League Division 4. So that's Dunshaughlin's second team against Drumbarra's first team, if I'm not mistaken, Davey. And what's your prediction on this one? It's been played in Dunshaughlin at 8:15.
I think Drumbarra will win that one.
Drumbarra to beat Dunshaughlin's second team. Have I missed one, Davey? You're telling me to go back.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, who are?
There's one insignificant game from League Division 5. It's on Wednesday night. It's in Cortown, and it's Cortown against Milan. That's a nice, tasty one for you there, Davey. I'll tell you one thing. You'll be sore after this game.
I'm sore after every game nowadays, Mickey. It doesn't really matter who it is. We're unbeaten, I think, in 4 competitive games in Cortown this year. This will be probably our biggest test to date, Junior A side coming to town, but we'll be up for that one as well, and we'll give it a good lash.
Yeah, but have you played away from home at all this year?
No. All the games are at home this year. They've given us all games.
Such a good pitch. You're making it a fortress there out in Cortown, CSR. Moving on then, sorry about flicking past that one. We'll move on then to Thursday night's fixtures. I'm just trying to see if we have anything there. we mightn't have anything, you know. Looking down through it, they're all Division 10. Oh, hang on, JMB Sports Field Services, Football League Division 4, Cairn Ross against St. Colum Kills second team. And we said already about this St. Colum Kills second team, they're going to be a very hard proposition for anybody at the moment. I'll side with them in this game because I don't think Cairn Ross are firing on all cylinders just yet.
Yeah, I will as well. I was actually over at the... They played each other probably 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was first round of the league as well. To play each other. I think it could have been a draw actually on the night, but I do fancy Colum Kills to get the better of Cairn Ross, who just have hit a bit of a divot in the road, haven't they, at the moment, Mickey? They're just struggling a tad.
Yeah, being by Cortin will do that to you, I suppose. Moving on then to the fixtures on Saturday night, or Saturday. And the first one is at 3 o'clock. It's the PR Coyne Football League Division 1, and it's been played in Summerhill. It's Summerhill against Dunmore Ashburn Davy.
Yeah, that's a great game, isn't it? I'll go Dunmore Ashburn.
Yeah, I'd have to go Dunmore Ashburn myself in this one as well. Summerhill missing a good few players between county and travels at the moment. Dunmore Ashburn probably nearly at full strength, bar a couple of players that are in with the under-20s, but Summerhill probably have the same. So both of us going to give Dunmore Ashburn the nod on their travels. Of course, they're in the Fesh Cup final as well, so they'll want to keep their momentum going. Next up then is from the PR Coyne Football League Division 1, St. Peter's and Boyne against Rathout on Saturday at 3 o'clock.
Very good-looking game, that one, isn't it? Two big hitters, but maybe Justin Boyne on home side for me.
Okay. I'll go Rathout at that one, so Owen, just to be different to you. There won't be much in it anyway, that's for sure. Moving on then to the next fixture, and that's JMB Sports Field Services Football League Division 4. Gaeltullum Kill against Ballinlough. Nice little local derby here. It's Gaeltullum Kill's second team coming up against Ballinlough's first team. So you'd have to side with Ballinlough, even though they do have to travel all the way to Grange Garden.
Yeah, there might be a chance that Shorsha might release the hurlers, considering that there's such a break, maybe to play with their clubs, possibly not as well. I'm sure they want to try and work on things as well, but if they do, they'll definitely win. Even if they don't, you're right, Mickey, that train of thought would probably be enough for Ballinlough.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also in the PR Coyne Division 1 of the league, it's Ballinabrachy taking on Simonstown at 3 o'clock in Ballinabrachy. I think the Simonstown lads have already left for that game.
Yeah, and I think they'll win as well, away win
for Simonstown. Well, I obviously have to go for my own club in that one. Also in the PR Coyne and Sons Football League Division 1, it's Nafina against Navan O'Matney's Davy Rispin.
Ooh, yeah, that's an interesting one.
I'm going Nafina.
Yeah, I will as well. I wouldn't be so confident on it, but yeah, maybe just Nafina.
No kidding. Also from PR Coyne and Sons Football League Division 1, it's Wolf Tones against Screen at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Depleted Wolf Tones team at the moment, coming up against a Screen side who have been holding their own, really.
Yeah, away win for me, Screen.
Away win for Screen. Next one up is from League Division 4. It's St. Peter's Dunboyne against Rathout. And this is St. Peter's Dunboyne's second team against Rathout's second team, I think.
Yeah, spot on. Rathout win.
Rathout win in that one. From the League Division 4, again, JMB Sports Field Services, League Division 4, Drumbarra against Castletown Davy. Nice little North Derby, North Mead Derby.
It's a good game, that, isn't it? Castletown to maybe just grind it out.
Yeah, same as Drumbarra. Who have they got involved at county at the minute? Harry Higgins.
Yeah, and Huey Corcoran is with the 20s.
Yeah, so Castletown maybe stronger at the moment than Drumbarra. Next one up is from League Division 4 again. St. Dalton's against Dunshaughlin's second team. That's at 5:30 on Saturday.
Jeez, could I pick Ulton's twice in 1 week? Go on.
Jesus Christ. This is a podcast. And do you know what? That'll be cut out for the intro. Definitely. So it will. Moving on to the next game from Division 4, and it's St. Bridget's against Longwood in Ballinacree at 5:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, tough place to go. God help the Longwood lads on a bank holiday weekend as well going there. Bridget will win, maybe.
Bridget will win. Okay. I don't think it's going to be a foregone conclusion as you're making it out to be.
No, you're actually right. I kind of regret it now, Mickey, but I'll still go.
Yeah. Yeah, PS Supplies Doors and Floors, Football League Division 3, the meeting of Clonmacnoise against Bective in Athboy at 5:30 on Saturday.
Good game, that.
I'll go
for a draw on that one. Why not?
We've got to go for a draw on that one. Maybe Bective will be, after seeing the championship draw, might be a little bit buoyed by it and might come away with the victory there. But then again, Clonmacnoise, a couple of lads back in the fold there for them as well. It'll be an interesting one. I'll go for Clonmacnoise just about to get the victory there. Moving on then to the League Division 3. Dunsany will play Blackhall Gales at 5:30 in Dunsany on Saturday.
Yeah, I think they should win that one, Dunsany. They're obviously slow to get out of the blocks this season, but this is a game they probably need to win.
Yeah, absolutely. Having lost to Dunmore Ashburn second team last week by a solitary point, and it was their first out, and maybe that will be the cobwebs out of the way. And they'll get the victory here. It's very hard to know what way Dunsany are at the minute, but both of us are going to give them the nod. In the Tommy Dowd Oil League Division 6, Boards Mill will take on Dunmore Ashburn's third team in Boards Mill on Saturday, Davey.
I wouldn't have any great confidence behind it, but I will go with Boards Mill. They
right.
need a win.
Okay. They do, but when you don't have any wins behind you, it's very hard to change that. I might just go with Dunmore Ashburn on that one because they've huge numbers at the moment. Moving on then to the PS Supplies Doors and Floors League Division 3, and Rakenny will take on St. Vincent's in Rakenny at 5:30. And wow, that's an interesting one. It's a junior A team coming up against a senior team. The senior team will be completely depleted and will be a different animal come championship against the St. Vincent's side, who are flying at the moment.
I've got to go with St. Vincent's. Incidentally, the Vincent's manager now, Shaggy McManus, is coming up against his former side. He managed Kenny a couple of years ago, so there's that too. Great looking game. Kind of FA Cup tie feel to it. Right, do you like Vincent? Incredibly.
Yeah. On a way win, Davey is saying for St. Vincent's. Next up is from the JMB Sports, JMB Food Services League Division 2, and it's Oldcastle against Centralston. There's a nice tasty one in Millbrook at 5:30 on Saturday, Davey. Call the winner there. Like,
Mickey.
I'm gonna go Centralston just because of the way they're playing at the moment, but you just never know. And probably Scully won't be available for this one.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think Centralstown's firepower will probably be enough for them here, but that'll be a cracking game.
Yeah, also from the League Division 2, it's Curragh against St. Michael's. In Curragh at 5:30 on Saturday.
Another tight game to call. Maybe just Michael's.
I'm going to go maybe just Curragh. So I am with that one. From the League Division 2, again, it's Waterstown against the League Bellionstown. It's at 5:30 in Waterstown on Saturday. Is this just a step too far for Waterstown? This should be a League Bellionstown win.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, moving on then to the PS Supplies Doors and Floors League Division 3. Kilmainham will play Beliver in Kilmainham at 5:30 on Saturday. I'm finding it hard to look past Beliver for this one, Davey.
Likewise, Mickey. Two games in the week for Kilmainham as well. They'll have a semi-final earlier in the week, but yeah, I think Beliver will be the fresher of the two.
Yeah, Football League Division 2, JMB Sportsfield, or JMB, JM Food Services, Winalvi against St. Pat's, Davey. Now, remember, Winalvi did put it up to Trim the last day, scored 2:10. St. Pat's were well beaten in their cup semi-final, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's beaten by 4 points against Oldcastle. Tight one to call that. Maybe just Pats to have enough.
Okay, well, I'll just go against you and I'll say Manalvi in that one. And then finally, it's Sidden against Trim on Saturday at 5:30 in Sidden. A resurgent looking Trim against the Sidden side again, who haven't been pulling up any trees at the moment, but haven't been disgraced either. but I'd still have to fancy Trim in this one.
Yeah, I think it could be a challenging campaign in general for Sitton this time round. So yeah, Trim should have no issues in that one in overcoming their hosts, their not made hosts.
We're going to move on now to Sunday, Davey, and we have a couple of fixtures down for decision on Sunday. The first one being the Tommy Dowd Oil League Division 6, Rathote against St. Mary's. Now, that's Rathote's third team against St. Mary's, who got a draw the last day out against St. Pat's, if I'm not mistaken, was it?
They had a draw against the League Bellewstown.
Oh, the League Bellewstown second team, yeah.
Maybe just Rathote, home soil.
Okay, with Holt getting the nod on that one. Moving on then to League Division 5, Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's Kilmainham Wood against Simonstown's second team. A Kilmainham Wood side, we don't know what's happening with them at the moment. Obviously, we've spoken about them twice. They have to play Moynalty, and then they have to play Simonstown on Sunday. So two games in what, the space of 5 days?
Yeah, and against the youthful Simonstown side, who will be probably buckleping out of the palace and straight into this game at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. So I think Simonstown will win it, Mickey.
Okay. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Kilmainham Wood may have got the victory over them last year, but I'll have to check that one out. Moving on then to the League Division 6, Drumcondra against Clonard, 11 o'clock Sunday morning in Drumcondra.
Clonard to double up on their cup success over Drumcondra already this season. Won their first round against Boards Mill. Great opportunity for them here. Make it back-to-back wins and keep the good times rolling.
Yeah, they lost to Drumcondra by a point, or they won against Drumcondra the last day in the cup by a point. And if I'm not mistaken, they had to go up to Drumcondra for that game as well. So I think that one could be a tight one. I might just throw a draw in on that one there, Davey. Moving to the Tommy Dowd Oil League Division 6, St. Peter's Dunboyne against St. Pat's. St. Pat's second team against St. Peter's Dunboyne's third team.
Yeah, Pat's for me.
Okay. We have some PR Coyne and Sons League Division 1 games as well. And the first one we have up here is Gael Columbkill against St. Columbkill's 11 o'clock Sunday morning in Grange Garden, and that's bank holiday Sunday, driving from St. Columbkill's over to Kells, the battle of the Book of Kells, St. Columbkill himself in Grange Garden. Where do you see this going, Davey?
Yeah, battle of the Columbkills on Easter Sunday with Keith Sheeran refereeing it. It is an Easter Sunday cracker. I go with the visitors. I'll go with the Seasiders to return with the 2 points.
Yeah, same as PS Supplies Doors and Floors Football League Division 3. Dundry will take on Dunamore Ashburn in Dundry at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. That's Dunamore Ashburn's second team. Doesn't get any easier for Dundry, does it?
No, if Dunamore Ashburn travel, and this can be the thing with second teams sometimes, Mickey, they don't travel as well as they, you know, if they had the game at home. But if they do, I think they're a really decent side, and obviously beat Dunsany the first time around. So you'd have to fancy them.
A couple of tasty ones coming up here now in the Tommy Dowd Oil League Division 5. The first one up is Wolftone's second team against Trim's second team in Bolia Gibb on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Davey?
I'll go with Trim in that one, actually.
Yeah, because Wolftone's first team are going to be depleted. So they'll be pulling from the second team, whereas Trim, again, have big numbers. I'd side with you on that one. At the same time, at 11 o'clock in Paddy O'Brien Park in Navan, Navan O'Matley's are going to be taking on Cortown. Navan O'Matley's taking on two Kell sides in the space of a week.
Yeah, and hopefully it's a similar fate for them. We played them actually last year, and it was like they were missing players because their first team were playing on the same night. That won't be the case now, so we expect a much stiffer opposition. But listen, we'll travel there with confidence, and hopefully we can get a win on Wednesday night. It'll cap off a great week for us if we could get a double up on Sunday morning.
Two more games in the Tommy Dowd Oil League Division 5 on Sunday morning. Moyla will take on Centralstown's second team in Moyla at 11 a.m. Again, you're talking about second teams travelling and whatever. I'd give Moyle the nod in this one, maybe.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, just maybe so. It's a tough place to go.
Absolutely. Summerhill will take on Screen in Summerhill. That's battle of 2 second teams, if I'm not mistaken, on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. if that game goes ahead.
Maybe just home advantage to count there for Summerhill.
Very good. Well, I'm just looking at Monday, and I don't think there is any games down for Monday evening. There's not. So that is a full look at all the league games to be played between now and Easter Sunday, Davey. And, you know, it's full on now. It's just full on. I was even at a game this morning on Sunday. Even the Cavan League has started. You know, my ex-team there, Drumlee, I went down to watch them playing. It's just full on now. It's just all go, go, go.
Yeah. I was loving the way you were trying to find the details to describe your adopted team, I think, is how you what you were looking for there, Mickey.
That's the word,
it's great to have them back in full flight. And I know some teams are playing catch up as well with the round one game. So they're in store for a busy week or two. But hopefully we catch up and we're back on track then. So could be a defining week for some teams playing twice in the week, you know. So all systems go.
Yeah, it really is. And best luck to all the lads taking the field for the clubs in the following 5 days. Davey, moving on to the biggest matter of this podcast, and of course it is GAPredictions.ie. Do you have the results in for the final round of league games, of the Allianz League games, and the results from our We Are Mead League as well?
I sure do, Mickey. Final round of action in GA predictions. Some brilliant performances from some of our big name hitters.
Thank you.
The winner of round. you had a good week. Not that good, but you had a good week. But not as good as Alan Farrell. I'm not sure if it's Nobbers Alan Farrell. He's the only one I know. He won it out with 42 points. 42 points, claim victory over Eamon Phelan and Owen Finnegan, who are joint second with 41. So 100 quid for Alan Farrell and 50 quid each for Eamon Phelan and Owen Finnegan. There were four players tied in 40 who are just outside the money, including Rory McGurn, Damien Butler, your mate in Cavan, Eddie Halligan, and our mate in Meath, Fergal Lynch, all had 40 points. Just missed out. I know Fergal was confident. I think he only had three or four results wrong, and he nailed the draw as well. But he was just edged out in the end by the three lads above him. So that was the prize money overall. But for the We Are Mead League, Mickey, and the O'Neill's jersey valued at €75, choice of your jersey, whatever county jersey you want, that is going to go to Ross McGrath, Mickey. He is the winner of the 2024 We Are Mead League. Ross finished with a total score of 241 points and incredibly recovered from an awful first week. I'm just looking at his first week. He had 17 points. After his first week, he got 39, 43, 36, 31, 40, and 35. So after a terrible first week, he recovered brilliantly to claim the We Are Mead League honours, defeating Paul Green, who was top for most of the campaign, but just fell away in the end. 237 points for Paul. He had an honourable 35 points in round 7. Not enough, as was the case for our good mate James Jelly O'Dwyer, Mickey. 35 points on the week for him, but it's a third place finish. He finished with 236 points. And Fergal Lynch finishing the Champions League spots with 231 points, 40 on the week for him. And he got in just ahead of Brendan Byrne from Ballybracky, who had a great season, 227 for him. And just below him, you had the likes of Kevin Galligan and Dunica Lynch on 222. And, sorry, I have to give it to you. You're just below the lads with 218 points all told. 33 for the week, Mickey. It's probably your best ever finish. So you have peaked. So thankfully it's all downhill.
No, it's not my best ever finish. I finished ahead of Fergal Lynch and Jelly nearly every year that we've done this. So it doesn't matter about the points or the jersey or anything like that. I've fallen back behind the two lads. I'm really, really disappointed.
Okay. Speaking of falling back, I tell you what, I need a good hard look at myself, because I'm looking at some of the names that have finished above me, aside from yourself and Fergal and Jelly. The Ham from the I Bloody Love Fantasy Football podcast, Robbie Keane, 214 points. I finished with 210 points. Oh, good Lord. I'm still scrolling trying to find PS tapes. And I have just about located him. A good few scrolls down the page. He finished with a grand total of 175 points. A pretty pitiful campaign for PS tapes, it has to be said.
It's going about as
sorry, sorry. A worse campaign for Colin O'Brien, 166. But in his defence, he missed round seven.
It's not good enough. It's not good enough. Like he just threw the toys out of the pram, knowing that he wasn't going to catch up on any of us in the final round. So no, I'm not having it from him.
Yeah, so there you have it. I'm not going to run through the league table in full. Anybody who's played it will get a copy of their league table on Monday. But just a word for everyone, actually, Mickey, to thank everybody for playing it and joining the league as well, by the way. It was our biggest league ever. And congratulations to Ross McGrath, who's won an O'Neill's jersey of choice worth £75. And we look forward to hopefully everybody being back and playing and having the crack this time next year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great addition to the podcast as well, and it gives us something to look forward to every weekend when the Allianz Football League is on. And yeah, I'm just delighted I finished ahead of you, the Ham, Robbie Keane, Paddy Stapleton, Colin O'Brien, just to name but a few. And of course, Fergal Lynch and Jelly have the hoodoo over me for this year, but I'll come back bigger and stronger next year. I told you it was a marathon, Davey. It wasn't a sprint. You were ahead of me after game week 5. Game week 6 and game week 7, I put in the hard yards. That 2 week break did me the world of good, so it did. And the warm weather training, as I said. And yeah, look, it's brilliant. And thanks to all the listeners for joining in. And yeah, look forward to next year already.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30 second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Okay, so Davey, time to move on to our lotto segment, and I'm sure you've got plenty of the PROs being in contact with you over the last couple of days.
Yeah, Mickey, the first one up is from my own Cartoon GFC from last Friday night, the 22nd of March. We had a €10,200 jackpot, which wasn't won. The numbers were 19, 26, 27, and 28. €520 winners were Dara Smith, Lisa Mulroe, who only won the €18,300 jackpot a couple of weeks ago. She's in the money again with £20 this time around. Brian Fox, Roisin McFadden, and Damo Dardis. We go again next Friday night with €10,400, CartownGA.com/lotto. And just to plug our annual Good Friday Golf Classic in Cartown, it's on in tandem with the lotto next Friday night at 9 o'clock in the hall. Great cash prizes, brilliant night of crack. So anybody who fancies playing a game of Texas Hold'em poker, you're more than welcome over to Carter next Friday night. And you could also win the €10,400 jackpot on offer. Anyway, Castletown, from the 20th of March, their numbers were 1, 17, 18 and 25. They were starting again with €1,000 of a jackpot. Thankfully for them, it wasn't won. Lucky dip winners winning €30 each were Donald Conway, Jennifer Dunnigan, Anne Berry, Paul Condra, Jack Killian, and Aaron Smith. Navnamatis, This time around, no jackpot winner. The numbers were 8, 16, 23, and 24. Match three winners were Christy Coll and Clifford Fitzgerald. The next draw takes place on the 26th of March, and it's worth €5,300. Ballinlock, four nightly draws taking place on Monday nights. They had a €7,000 jackpot last time around. The letters were E, I, M, and W. No jackpot winner. Next draw takes place on the 2nd of April. They did have a couple of match three winners who have to share €100 between them, including Jim Riley, Reese Farrell, Liz Reddy, Tommy Nulty, and Maggie Devine. The next draw takes place in the clubhouse. Manalvi from Monday night, the 18th of March, 5, 7, 12, and 26, their numbers, no jackpot winner. Three €20 winners were Eileen Keneally, Mick Delahunt, and Angela Harnan. The next draw takes place on the 25th of March, which is tomorrow, Monday night. It's worth €7,300, manalvigfc.ie or on the Club Force app. Kilmainham from Monday the 18th of March, no winner of their one, 1, 12, 18 and 24, fast becoming one of the biggest in the county actually. It's currently standing at €11,600. The five lucky dip winners each receiving €20 from last week were Nessa Newman, John Morris, Ned Hennigan, Johnny Clark and Kevin Devine. Manalty from last Sunday night, the 18th of March, it's a €3,600 jackpot. The numbers were 9, 12, 17 and 25, no winner. Five match three winners each receiving €40. Sean Sheridan, Jonathan Lynch, Horik McMahon, Kate Allen, and Margaret Lynch. The special online prize of €50 went to Gillian Carey. And next week's draw takes place tonight, Sunday. It's worth €3,800. Walterstown from last Sunday night, the 17th of March. Numbers were 2, 9, 10, and 20. No jackpot winner. One match three winner, who was Alicia Reynolds. And they go again with their jackpot currently capped at €10,000. And the final one that is on my list for this week, Mickey, comes from Dunmore Ashburn. And their €9,800 jackpot from the 17th of March wasn't won. Match three winners included Greg Toomey, Glenn Tormey, Tom Giblin, Paul Giblin, Teresa Fennell, Verona Boland, Niall Dignam, Charlie Redmond, Alan Rock, and Paul Docherty. The numbers were 6, 11, 16, and 28. And they go again with €9,900, which takes place tonight, Sunday.
Brilliant. Brilliant stuff. Davey, moving on to the Centerstown Lotto from last Monday, the 18th. The numbers drawn were 11, 16, 27, and 28. There was no jackpot winner. The five 25-year-old winners were Derek Clifford, Michael Noonan, Donald Bones, Tommy Collins, and Eva Monaghan. They go again this Monday night with a jackpot of €1,200. Kilmainham Woods Lotto last week was not won. The numbers drawn were 3, 4, 21, and 26. It took place on Tuesday the 19th. The five lucky dip winners each receiving €20 each were Thomas O'Connor, Alicia Young, Fergal McKenna, Maeve McEntee and Loretta Cunningham. This week's lotto is €3,000 and will take place on Monday night. Incidentally, it won't be Tuesday night this week. And then finally, Simonson's lotto from last Friday night was €5,200. There was no winner. The numbers drawn were 5, 18, 27 and 31. The lucky dip winners were Wendy Clinch, Jimmy Murray and Michelle Cummins. And before we move on to our Instagram talking points for this week, Davey, just going to push our listeners towards our Loyal Royals podcast. We've got a whole host of Loyal Royals podcasts going out this week. We have the Match Day Diary, actually, from Donegal. That's out already. If you haven't heard it, have a listen to that one. Davey Rispin and some of our listeners, and Fergal Lynch as well, giving their thoughts on the trip to Donegal. We have a full review as well going out of that Donegal game with an interview with Colm O'Rourke. We also have done a Club Roundup podcast where we have reviewed all of the games over the last week and given our reviews of those games, be it in league or cup competition. We also have done a podcast on the 2024 Meath Championship draw that took place as well during the week. We've given our tuppence on that and gone through each of the groups in each of the championships and given our predictions on that one, which was an interesting one to do, Davey. The championship draw being so early in the year and given our predictions, we have also put in the proviso that we will maybe give new predictions when we get closer to the championship around July.
I was relieved at that. All right, Mickey, it's very easy for us to make assumptions and calls now based on a couple of rounds of cup and maybe league. But it's far too early, really, isn't it? I suppose the draw gives us an indication of what's to come and whets the appetite nicely, but it's very early days still.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll move on to our Instagram talking points now, Davey. The listeners, I'm sure, have thrown in their own tuppence on all things GAA over the last week.
Yeah, they have indeed. Extra Time Sport wants to know, has the under 20, I assume he means panel, been announced yet?
It has. No, I don't think so. We haven't heard anything on that just yet. But as soon as we do hear it, we will let our listeners know.
Cathal Finnegan is in next, and he said Brian Maguire kicking his first point in 2 years for Cenceslas. I think he kicked a point last year as well. I think he kicked one last year.
I think Maguire got one or two last year, maybe. And I think Cathal is doing him a disservice there. So he is. Maybe Cathal wants us to talk about him hitting the onion bag once again, does he?
He's greedy enough, Mickey. So no, we'll leave him off, I think. But you know it's go you know it's going well for Sandstone when Brian Maguire is coming forward to kick points, don't you? Like so.
Next thing is John Smith will be scoring as well.
Oh Jesus, don't push out the button. Shane Riley is next in, and he said, no answer for Donegal, a bit like the game in Armagh. I fear for us yet again against Dublin if we beat Longford in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, incidentally, if you listen back to our Loyal Royals podcast where we review that game, we do talk about our aspirations and our progress and stuff this year and where we're at as a team. And we kind of go into a little bit of depth on that. I wouldn't be too worried about the Dublin game. I think, as I said to you on that podcast, Davey, that we're going to be judged more on how we play against Longford than we do against Dublin, because this is a very young team that are starting to make like incremental steps up the ladder. And I wouldn't be basing it on how we perform against Dublin in the Leinster Championship.
Yeah, 100%. There is that fear, I think, there for Meath supporters, though, Mickey. And I think we have to understand it that, you know, there is at the back of your head, you're worried about maybe getting a bit of a beating against Dublin if it comes to that, and how that could set us back. I know in theory it we won't be judged on that, but at the same time, it probably wouldn't do anyone any good. So, listen, I wouldn't be getting ahead of ourselves. We have a tough game in a fortnight's time against
Exactly.
Lafford.
Yeah.
And we'll worry about Dublin maybe after that.
Who knows? Just on that, who knows? We mightn't get a chance to play Dublin this year.
Yeah. Maybe for the best if their performance against Tyrone was anything to go off. But look, we'll see. Yeah. Ivan W85 said, another disaster of a league campaign. We haven't kicked on from last year, unfortunately.
Again, I refer you back to our podcast. It's not that we haven't kicked on. Yeah. You have to remember, we only finished a point behind third in Division 2. You know, Fermanagh result probably cost us third position. But again, this year is a fact-finding mission. It's not about, you know, getting promoted. It would have been lovely to be in the promotion hunt. But are we at the level of the top eight teams in the country at the moment? We're not, and we're very young. I think this has to be a gradual thing. We can't just jump from being a terrible Division 2 side to all of a sudden being a competitive Division 1 side.
Michael Tiernan says, we'll be fine, trust the process.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly the way I would look at it. This is going to be a mission over the next 3 years. It's not going to happen overnight.
High and Rush said, Donal Keoghan impressing once again.
Well, David, you can talk on that one.
He was out at six, where I actually don't think he's generally at his best, but he did well. Jeez, I don't know what Donegal player it was. He nailed him with a wrap. I wouldn't fancy running into Donal Keoghan, but look, he's just unbelievable, really.
Yeah,
and I love when he gets to showcase it against the better teams as well. By the way, because I like people to see. See how good
it
is.
Yeah, see what we see in Donal Keoghan. But my fear for Donal Keoghan is that in 3 years' time, when this team we reckon will be at its best, might be just a little bit too far for Donal Keoghan. And an All-Ireland championship or a Leinster title could come just after Donal Keoghan retires, which would be an awful shame for Donal Keoghan. But look, that's all to be seen yet anyway.
Dara Smith said Carnross under 17, not amalgamating for the first time ever.
Oh, is it amalgamating or amalgamating?
Oh, sorry, amalgamating, yeah. he's gone for amalgamating.
Yeah, he's mangled it, so he has, but they're not not amalgamating for the first time ever. That's good.
Yeah, normally I think with Menaldi, aren't they at that age? But obviously they feel they have enough numbers to go themselves. Fair play.
Good stuff.
Jack Walsh said, Minute Bachelor in the Attic tomorrow.
I think that's got something to do with Kildare being relegated, is it?
Oh, no, I think it could be to do with our mate Lucky to be working, Mickey. He's living in Minute and he's...
He's going to be in the attic tomorrow. Yeah, I well believe it. He's in the attic a lot of the time.
That's it though. Short and sweet this week, actually, Mickey. Not too much to go through, but we've had plenty in the podcast. We've got loads of club fixtures out of the way and plenty to come in the next week. So,
absolutely, yeah. And there's a whole host of stuff still to come this year from both club and county. And I'm looking forward to the Leinster Championship. I know a couple of our listeners there, Davey, are a little bit wary in the whole lot, but I'm looking forward to it. I don't mind what happens against Dublin because it's all going to culminate in the All-Ireland series come the summer.
It's all going to, in the All-Ireland final in Croke Park when we beat Dublin. That's what it's all roads lead to that, Mickey.
Absolutely. And what a way to finish the podcast. Look, that's it for this episode. Remember, we are Meath. Why? It matters more.